Blog Talk Radio.
Jingle bell rock, a jingle bell swing, and jingle bells ring, snowing and blowing, our bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock, a jingle bells chime and jingle bell time, dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is the swell time to go gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Jingle horse, pick up your feet, a jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling beat. That's the jingle bell
and welcome back to the Bachelor Pad on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for joining us here. We're having some tech issues here. I'm going to get those fixed. It's LA Bachelor with you. And there we go. There we go. WCOM here in Chapel Hill. Over to the phones, bringing my first guest, of course. She is the co-host of the Donaldson Files. It airs every Tuesday and Wednesday at 6 p.m. She's Coco Cosney. And Coco, appreciate you coming on this evening. Absolutely. I want to get right into it. We have a number 45, I call him, who has replaced his chief of staff and former military person Kelly, and bringing in Mick Mulvaney, someone who has had a partisan way of looking at things, certainly not a favorite of Democrats, who wouldn't be, but also some racial undertones in the past as a congressman in South Carolina. What have you heard about him, and what do you think about how that would play out, especially with this new Congress coming in that's going to be, at least in the House, a majority of Democrats?
Right. So I haven't heard too much about him, but, you know, as you were saying, someone who's had like kind of like racial undertones, it's not shocking that Trump would pick someone who has been accused of that, because I mean, I feel half the people in the White House are like that at this moment. I mean, we really haven't seen quite an administration like this in, I don't know if we ever have. It's really kind of a circus show at this point, you know, people are jumping ship, you know, people are being replaced like every 6 months, and I feel the only people who are actually staying, you know, at the White House are the people reporting what's going on from the White House. You know, other than that, you know, you never know who's going to stay and who's going to go, because they're all jumping ship at this point.
Which, is it more about the fact that, you know, the Mueller investigation is coming on, in your opinion, rather than the change based on the incompetency of a Donald Trump who, again, with this chief of staff coming in, he called him a bad person back in the day. He called him a bad person. Now all of a sudden he brings him in. Is it more about, you know, the you know what's going to hit the fan with the Mueller investigation? So people are trying to bail. You see Cohen, and we'll get to that stuff in a minute. But is it more about that, or just the fact that, you know, people just can't deal with number 45 anymore?
I think it's a bunch of things. I think it's the fact that no one, you know, look, like John Kelly, you know, this is a man who's a four-star general who put basically, you know, his country first in a lot of times, but it's you can only put your country first, like, so many times before you're sitting and realizing, like, who the hell am I working with? And I think that's what happened with Kelly. I think it was the president not listening to him, the president, you know, thinking, you know, oh, everybody loves me, no one hates me, type BS. And I think Kelly was just, you know, I'm out, you know, with his reputation being tarnished as it is, just for the mere fact that he was working with the Trump administration. And to me, and I say this, I like John Kelly in some ways. You know, I thought he was not the type of person to kiss Trump's ass. I think he was the type of person to kind of set the rules. And I think he clashed with Donald Trump so much, it was like, enough, I'm out. And when you lose John Kelly, you know, who are you going to have to replace him? You know, Nick Ayers was like, said a big hell no to taking that position, you know, and you're talking about, you know, Trump bad-mouthing, you know, Mulvaney or, you know, whatever. This is nothing new. I mean, look what he did with Ted Cruz. He said Ted Cruz's dad killed JFK. You know, he called his wife ugly, and now he's rallying for when he was rallying for Cruz, saying, oh, he was the best guy, you know? I mean, this guy gets off, I believe, on just bad-mouthing anyone he can, whether if they're part of his party or not.
Talking with Coco Cosney, of course. She is the co-host of The Donaldson Files. It airs on Tuesday and Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern time here on the Bachelor Pat Network. Of course, the Bachelor Pat. Coco, let me – but here's the thing I have a problem with. Because you mentioned how Kelly stayed on for the good of the country, but when – at some point, do you say enough is enough? How do you allow this man, number 45, to be a racist, a sexist, to do all the things and say all the things and feel those ways, and you stay on? Nikki Haley and all these other people have stayed on for so long. When are you – I mean, do we – should we even give them credit for staying on for the good of the country when you know you have 45 being the, in my personal opinion, being the evil person that he is?
Right. I mean, look, no, I mean, and that's a question that only they know. I mean, if I were to take a wild guess, I'd be like, it's the money. You know, it's for sure the money. It's also the fact, you know, that I think – a lot of these people are doing this out of duty, you know what I mean? And
okay, we lost you a little bit, Coco. If you can, something dropped off. If you can speak up, or yeah, it's really low though. I just wanted to let you know. There you go.
So working at the White House is, you know, it is a privilege. You know, not many people get to do this. And I think that's also kind of the enticement of working in any administration, to be honest. And I think that's why a lot of people are saying that, look, you have a lot of people who are not going to put up with Donald Trump's BS, and they're just going to be, like, jumping ship like they are right now. I mean, it's almost like watching, you know, the DC version of The Apprentice. You know, who's going to be fired next?
And that's how he treats it, too, though. I mean, that's how he treats it. It's a game. It's not about being serious. It's about how much power and how much manipulation that he can have over one's lives. You know, with the just to switch gears with the Mueller investigation, we've seen Michael Cohen get sentenced to 3 years. Obviously, Mr. Lockerup and General Flynn is facing time now. His attorneys are trying to say, well, he shouldn't get any time because he cooperated with the Mueller investigation. And the list goes on and on. The chips will fall, or the dominoes, I guess, will fall at some point. But do you get the feeling that, you know, there's pressure for Mueller to shut it down and make a recommendation? You know, Trump could be impeached, another thing we'll get to, but maybe not in jail. So do you think that those chips, those dominoes are going to lead to his demise where he doesn't even get an opportunity to run and serve a second term?
I think he believes he has the balls to run for a second term. I definitely think he will. I mean, remember, I mean, he still has supporters, and no matter what he does or what he, you know, whatever actions, you know, he's responsible for, they're still going to back him no matter what. You know, it's almost like the Jim Jones. You know, they drink the Kool-Aid and, you know, they'll ride or die with him. That's what I truly believe. Like, even if he gets indicted with Mueller, it's going to be like, my fear is that if anything were to happen to him, you know, it'd be like World War III. It really would. I feel like his supporters are that crazy that they would take to the streets and do what it is that they do, whatever. You know, the Alex Jones, the InfoWars, the, you know, Laura Loomers of the world. You know, I mean, they look to him as if he's like, it's like a cult. It's a cult. I mean, that, you know, I feel like the 45 supporters are, it's a cult. And I think no matter what the outcome, like, I mean, I'll be really brash and honest right now, but I feel like he literally could be indicted for, like, raping a minor, and they would blame the victim. That's how I really look at how these people treat Donald Trump. I mean, they really treat him like he's a god.
But do you think that a lot of it is the Mitch McConnell Republican, let's keep our agenda, especially economy and big business? Is it the religious right that look at Roe versus Wade and the abortion debate? Or do you think it's just purely white folks just being racist? And that's why, in terms of support, is it all of the above? Okay.
All of the above. I mean, you know, let's look at David Duke. I mean, him praising Donald Trump. I mean, I'm not on Twitter anymore, but when I was, like, he would be like, oh, Donald Trump just gave the best speech. And you know, Donald Trump wasn't really, you know, disassociated with him. Like, he could say he doesn't agree with David Duke, but he has never disassociated with him. And also remember, like, George H.W. Bush, back in 93, basically called David Duke out and basically, you know, disassociated with him. He goes, no, this is not what I believe in. I do not stand with this person. And here we have Donald Trump, who can't even do this.
Well, it's amazing, though. I agree with you. I think it's a three-headed monster when it comes to the support for Donald Trump. Talk with Coco Cosney on the pad. Coco, before you go, let's look at the Democratic side. Now, Iowa comes up in February, I believe, the caucuses there of next year, in terms of people, candidates going out there to the fairs and all of those things to try to make their candidacy known. You have a Kamala Harris, you have a Cory Booker who have not announced. You have other folks like Bernie Sanders, the Bernie again. You have Joe Biden that may jump in. You have Elizabeth Warren. It's the Democrats have about a dozen people who O'Rourke in Texas, a dozen people or so who are looking at vying for the candidacy or the Democratic nomination. Who do you, A, want to see in that position? And then, B, who do you think, and it's a ways away, who do you think will actually win that nomination based on what you know right now?
All right, so who do I want? I would love Cory Booker and Kamala Harris. I would love that. But right now, this is what I've been seeing popping up on blogs and stuff, like, take one Biden and O'Rourke to run together. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I think I really truly hope that the Democrats are going to actually listen to their supporters and the people who are backing them and listen to who they really want versus, you know, a Bernie Sanders. I mean, we don't need that again. We do not want. I mean, I'm speaking for me, myself. I do not want Bernie.
Why not Bernie? Because of his politics or because he brings the overall picture of the party down in terms of votes and things? Okay, I think we lost Coco. We're going to get back to her in a second. Hopefully we'll get her back on the line. Stay tuned on the path.
Hi.
Hey, got disconnected.
Did I get caught?
No, you got it hung up. Stand by. Yeah, it just dropped. All right, stand by. Welcome back to the Bachelor Pad. Coco, back on the line. Coco, real quick, your thoughts? Okay, there you go.
You know, as far as candidates go, like Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, all the way. I'm so for them. You know, there are things about Kamala I don't like, just because she passed a bill about, you know, anti-sex workers. But, you know, I'm kind of willing to let that slide if we don't get Trump for the next 4 years. And I think right now people claiming that Biden or O'Rourke are going to be the next ticket, you know, or Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders is, like, really leading in the polls right now as a next contender. But, I mean, I don't feel like what we need is just, like, another old white guy. I really do not. I feel we need someone much younger, and Kamala and Cory Booker are, they're moderately young, you know? They're not the age Bernie or Joe Biden are, and I think that's what the Democrats really need. I mean, they need someone new, someone fresh, but someone who's been around politics for, you know, quite a while, and they're perfect.
Well, I'm not a big Cory Booker fan. The book is still out. No pun intended. The book is still out on Kamala Harris. I've always been a big Joe Biden fan, but and we'll see who it is. The other thing is that what I don't like is they're bringing up a Beto O'Rourke, which he did very well. No disrespect to him, but you have two African American candidates in Florida and then in Georgia who did well, who raised the bar, who people think that because they lost their political career is over, but they have just as good a shot as O'Rourke and some of these others too. But you know, we got some time before that. Coco, I know you're not on Twitter, but before you go, of course, the show airs on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern time on the Bachelor Pad Network. But tell folks how they can follow you the social media outside of Twitter, of course.
Contact me on social media. You guys can go to my Facebook. It's actually Samantha Konski, K-O-N-S-K-I. I cannot use Coco, even though that's my name, because they didn't allow it. But if you guys want to reach me there, also I'm on Instagram, on Coco Konski, you know, it's Instagram. But that's how you guys can reach out to me and let me know what you guys think.
Coco, as always, we appreciate your time. We will talk tomorrow and, of course, on Wednesday as well on the show, okay? Thank you so much this evening. Coco Costany, of course, on the pad. Oh, stay tuned. Come on, Barnes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the pad on WCOM FM LP, Chapel Hill, Carborough, of course, blogtalkradio.com. It is the Bachelor Pad Show. Little tips in your life as we celebrate Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to those as well. And Kwanzaa, I want to bring in my next guest. He is a NFL insider. Of course, he covers the NFL Combines. He does a show on the Bachelor Pad Network called Locker Talk. You can check out Locker Report as well. He is Barry Barnes. The show airs on Friday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And Barry, always good to have you. Happy holidays to you and your fam, sir. And we love this game, don't we? we'll leave it at that. You know, Barry and me and Reg and T-Mac and Few, we had a little fun with the Patriots-Steelers game on Sunday. Tom Brady for president. But I want to look at let's look at this game tonight, though, before we go, because we're short on time, so I'm going to zoom through our two-minute warning with you, if you don't mind. You have a Panthers team, and I'm not being funny, the Panthers fan, we're in North Carolina, but you have a Panthers team that really hasn't been the same since they took it on the chin with Pittsburgh. They've lost five in a row. They were 6-2 to 6-7. You know, their playoff hopes are literally on the line. They get one of the best, if not, and some people think the best team in football in the Saints coming to town this evening. And what's been a problem with Carolina and what can they do to slow down this very, very good Saints team?
Well, I think the biggest part with Greg Olsen being out, that's been, I don't say Cam Newton's lifeline since he's been there. Without, Greg there, it's still an adjustment with him. And plus, the same time of the year that, North Turner, who's really helped Cam this season to progress better as an NFL quarterback, drawing from the pocket, there's still tendencies that he has to learn, like certain mechanics. He's still throwing off the back foot, and still forcing passes and still trying to get on the same page with their young receivers with more. When you have Torrey Smith, who kind of disappeared, he's only pretty much just a play that can catch the deep ball. It's several things within that offense that Cam and this offense have to really come together. The only, consistent there is what Christian is able to do, as far as, being a playmaker. Christian McCaffrey is able to do as a playmaker. That's the only thing that's been really consistent. And also juggling around that offensive line. So it's a lot of things they have to find to just be and just accept who they are, that their identity of being a team that can be explosive, but instead of always trying to go for the big play. I think that's the biggest issue. trying to go for the big play, trying to go for the home run, and just be basic and take what the offense, what the defense gives you. If they just do that and just stay at home and be patient, allow that offense to work despite all those other changes, they should be fine.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is that they, A, don't, to me, Funches, and they don't have the receivers to be trying to go for these deep routes and you know, these out routes, at, you know, 60 yards down the field. I know Cam can get the ball there. I'm not a Ron Rivera fan. I think he doesn't – they don't win a Super Bowl with him. I'm sorry. But I do think that, you know, Cam has made some exceptional strides in his the way he passes the ball. He's been a lot more accurate than his whole career. But they just it's almost like with the Packers, Barry, they you know that Aaron Rodgers is the weatherman every year because he's on his backside because they don't protect him every year. They need to improve it. It's the same thing with the Panthers. Can you give me some? Can you give Cam some bona fide stud receivers who can make plays? He doesn't have that. He never, to me, truly had that. You can't depend on a tight end to catch the ball 8 yards all the way to the Super Bowl. Not going to happen. Greg Olsen's a great Hall of Fame player. Not going to happen. They need some stud receivers around him, and they never gave him that, in my opinion.
Well, they did try bringing in Torrey Smith, who I always say is one-dimensional. You know, they thought that would work for us, emphasizing the deep ball. With DJ Moore coming from the Maryland Terps, another speed guy that can catch the deep ball. You know, Funches, someone that can be reliable, pretty much his most consistent wide receiver there. They tried with that. And then with Chris McCaffrey, someone who can play the underneath game, be that slot, can be that everything like James White is to Tom Brady in New England. They brought in some pieces. Only thing is that with them, is with Cam Newton, since he's not that type of quarterback that can make receivers better, he actually has to have players around him. Since these guys are pretty much still trying to find each other, still trying to get into some kind of chemistry, that's when you're going to start seeing some things wrong. I think they was really trying to put the right pieces around Cam Newton. It's just unfortunately at this time of the year when they really need those guys to step up, when that pressure is there, that's the part where they are missing for right now. And it's still adjusting. I think that what they need to do, instead of trying to find a long ball type wide receiver, they need to find receivers that can play the underneath game very well, so Cam can get the ball out a little quicker instead of being in that pocket and holding. That's one of the things we're going to see tonight, unfortunately, when they go against the Saints. They really got to find not just a big, deep threat. I believe that he has those guys, and until they develop, I think they have to find some way to be able to get a better short ball game to help open things up for a deep ball.
Yeah, I kind of disagree. I think that, you know, Cam is doing what Cam can, and you have to, you know, I know you don't get an Antonio Brown and guys like that to come along all the time, but I just don't think that they built within the draft and brought in the right type of people to enhance Cam. He is a Super Bowl quarterback. He got to a Super Bowl, so it's not like he doesn't know how to get there and be successful. I just don't think they put the right pieces around him consistently to be successful. And I don't think Ron Rivera is the guy who's going to actually get them a W when it comes to a Super Bowl championship. I could be wrong, but that's what I think.
I'm glad you brought the Antonio Brown situation because he's a good example of this situation, because Antonio Brown didn't just start blowing things up until after three years, pretty much when Emmanuel Sanders went to the Broncos. You know, it's not every deep ball threat down speed guy that come on the team is going to always have an immediate impact. You don't really have too many Randy Moss coming out making an impact like that. It's really going to take them some time to really get to that point when they can be trusted, you know, to be able to catch, you know, deep ball. But they do need to find some way to help alleviate that, to open it up, and I think a short passing game can help towards that.
Talking with Barry Barnes, of course, from Locker Talk and the Locker Report on the pad. We mentioned Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. We see They fire their coach. They're not going to make the playoffs. They struggle. Once again, they trade some players away. They don't have they still don't have the talent on the offensive line to me, the defensive line, and on the back side, you know, outside of Clay Matthews and a few. I don't know what they do on defense. And so with Aaron just kind of being, to me, the best pure passer in the game, but getting to that one Super Bowl and winning and having sniffed it since, A, is he on the downside? B, do you think he'll even get back there ever again?
No, he won't, because with him being the age of 35, and when you accept all that money, and it plays a major factor. If you really want to be able to compete in this league, especially as a quarterback, it's one of those things that, okay, do they deserve to have all that money, especially when they have caliber quarterback like Aaron Rodgers? Yes. But it's up to that quarterback, that individual, to see which one is more important. You know, should I still go and get all his money? That way I'm taken care of, or if I really want to win, you know, allow, you know, me to not take all that money so they can be able to bring other free agents in. Green Bay has always been a hard spot to get big-time free agents to go there. So they really have to rely pretty much on their draft process. And with Aaron Rodgers having some good young talented players in there now, I love the two undrafted players they brought in. I think there's going to be something special there. But it's going to be one of those situations where how long would it take those guys to actually develop? And then at the same time, like you mentioned, with the offensive line, will he be able to sustain during that process while the offensive line is still developing itself, because he's going to take a lot of hits over the years? It's one of those situations where I don't see him winning in Green Bay, but if he do get a chance to win again in Green Bay, it'll be a couple of years down the road before those guys become, I would say, when those wide receivers actually start to command a lot of money while they had to cheat. I think it'll be one of those situations that they had to develop fast, and also at the same time, hopefully that offensive line can get together. If they don't get together, and then by the time Aaron Rodgers is 37 and 38, and if he continues to be banged up, and because of the lack of money they have to attract free agents, it's going to be really hard for Aaron Rodgers to actually bring back home the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
It's funny, people are watching on Facebook Live, Barry. I have my Steelers hat and jacket on. One of them said, Steelers jacket, boo, boo, boo hoo, or something. I don't know, man. Whatever. What? Hey, man. They steal the squealers, though. They're still the squealers. Yeah. Well, look, they're still the squealers. I mean, they got a temporary monkey off their back after 5 years, but they still got to go to New Orleans and win and still beat the Bengals with the Ravens there. Three teams before we get out of here, I want to mention. We talked about Carolina and New Orleans. I'm not saying this because, look, the Chargers have been good all year. And the one thing, the difference with this Charger team, it's one question mark. Can Philip do it in the playoffs? Number one. Number two, though, for the positive, their defense is really playing well. I know Kansas City's going to put 28 or more on anybody, so it don't matter. But their defense is physical. They got tall, physical wide receivers that he gets the ball to. They got a great running back, and they're pushing the right buttons. Big win. They might be the top seed if they can win out and Kansas City stumbles. But the point is that this Chargers team looks a lot different than any Chargers team, even when they made the Super Bowl with Stan Humphries and that crazy stuff back in the day. So talk about them. The Bears win their division. Nobody gave them a chance. I think they have an erratic quarterback, but they're NFC North champions. And then when you look at the play of Denver, are they in trouble losing to, and I said this before the season started, a team that will be much improved, that didn't win a game last year, that won six already this year, the Cleveland Browns, but is that coach in trouble?
Well, I don't think Vance Joseph is in trouble right now in Denver because they know they still trying to find themselves what they can do as far as getting a quarterback. I think they're still in that same process. The Emmanuel Sanders, he goes down for the end of the end of his season with an injury right when it was really starting to peak, when he had those two big wins just a couple of weeks ago. So he got hurt at the wrong time, and I think that really plummeted their chances of getting to the postseason. But I don't think Vance Joseph is in trouble there. The Bears, on my show, Locker Talk, I've been talking about the Bears' defense before week one, saying that this is going to be pretty much a Super Bowl type of defense, and they're showing that. So I'm not surprised in seeing that, what they're doing there. And as far as the Chargers, that one instance last week. Now, like you said, can he do it in the postseason when it counts? That's his biggest knock. That's why nobody really talk about Phillip Rivers. But the exchange with when he was, after they had scored a touchdown, he was going to the sideline to go for a field goal. Now, the young Phillip Rivers in the past, if he was situation like this, he was so hot, he wanted to go and try to win the game, to be conservative. Coaches always said, come back in, we're going to kick a field goal. In this situation, he's older, they can go into overtime. He goes to the sideline, Anthony Lynn, like, let's go for the win. He found it was like a light switch that hit in Aaron Rodgers that he finally has a coach that thinks like him and is just as competitive as he is. And I really believe that with that chemistry, with that exchange from last week, I think that Phillip Rivers should go to that next level knowing that he has his coach that's going to back him. And then at the same time, like you mentioned, that defense and knowing one of my guys that came to the regional combine, Latavius Brown, number 57, is calling the right plays in that defense, really orchestrating things with that defensive front that they have. This could be that special team that first day was that team no one wanted to see in the AFC as a wild card. Now it could be that team that nobody really want to go and try to take on if they win that number one seed. But that exchange last week, I look to see that could be that thing that will push Phillip Rivers over the edge to help take this team deeper into the playoff.
I agree. This Chargers team is for real. And if they can get over that hump and that edge that they have right now, they can go deep into the playoffs. Barry, before you go, let folks know how they can reach out to you, sir.
You always hit me directly on Twitter at @Locker_Report. On Facebook, LockReport.com, Instagram, LockReport100, all small cats, and email BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. And also you can tune in on the Batch Pad Radio Network on Friday mornings from 9 to 9:30 to listen to Locker Talk to find out more perspectives on the NFL that you won't hear nowhere else.
Absolutely. And the combines you're getting, folks, I know you and I have been talking about some of the players of smaller schools, in particular Alabama State. We'll get into that as the weeks go on. And before you go, Tom Brady for president. In Baltimore, Patriot fan Barry Barnes, we appreciate you, sir. Thank you. Oh, I hear somebody yelling in the background. See, there you go. All right. Barry, I appreciate you, brother. God bless it, and we'll talk soon, okay? All right, Barry Barnes on the pass. Stay tuned. Yeah, stand by. As a matter of fact, can you call Tony and get him on the line with you? Yeah, he's on the line. You have his number? Yeah, call and call me back. All right, thanks, bye. I never Welcome back to the pad. Rafael Sadiq, of course, Tony. Got a Tony on the line along with a Reggie on the line, of course, Tony T-Mac McClain from BASN Newsroom. and Reggie Howell, WCOM in Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to the brothers. Appreciate you guys. Okay, we need to get them on the line. We'll take a quick break and get them on the line.
A happy new year. This is Michael Jackson of the Jackson 5 wishing a happy holiday to all Motown fans.
Oh, hey, I need you, hold on. Okay, I got pushed back. Do me a favor. Tony's number. So I only have one. I'm working with one line, unfortunately, right now. So hold on. Yes, 203. Yeah, hold on one second. Yeah, that's it. Hold on. Let me make sure. It's 85. Yep, that's it. Call him, okay? Bye, then. Gonna call you. Yeah, Reggie. No, listen. Orlando's gonna call you, Tony. So. Oh, okay. So everybody, all three of you there. Okay. Yeah, he was supposed to call you. He didn't call you. Yeah, get Reg. I'll stay on the line. Go ahead.
No,
Welcome back to the past with Donny Hathaway and your life Christmas song this Christmas. And it's funny how that song plays out and then it fades and it comes back. And folks don't know, Donny did a lot of not just the Christmas music, of course, his daughter Layla is just awesome, but he also did Claudine, some music from Claudine. If you, I know T-Mac and Reg remember that. Just a awesome voice. Can never go wrong with Donny Hathaway. He puts you in the right kind of spirit, I guess, guys. I got the brothers from the Black Knights of the Round Table here, Tony T-Mac, McLean, BASN Newsroom, Orlando Hughes of KRSB Radio in Philly, and my good friend, longtime friend, Reggie Howell from WCOM in Richmond, Virginia. Gentlemen, happy holidays to you, and thank you for coming on sort of short notice. Hey, look, we had some fun with that little text, so, Red. Well, see, it, that's true. But I you know, guys, let's be real. You know, I've been very critical of Mike Tomlin. You know, I have. So, and if you look at it, go ahead. That's right. Right. Well, the and we're short on time, so we're just gonna get into it. But outside of Joe Hayden being a professional that he is, that secondary is young and they need experience. I'll give some credit to Keith Butler and his schemes. They lead the league in sacks this year, which means they're getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They got pressure and knocked Brady off. We always talk about if you knock him off his block. He starts getting the happy dance and the happy feet. They got one sack on him in this game. Talk with Barry about it. And the thing is that, you know, you just have to schematically do the right things. Mike Tomlin, though, has taken chances. And to me, that is in some ways, and you guys could disagree, a little arrogant. If you don't have the personnel, you can't be taking the chances, especially on offense with a quarterback who throws too many darn interceptions. Too many. Too many. I've been saying this about Ben for 18 trillion years. He throws entirely too many bad, they're all bad, but too many bad interceptions for the Steelers. That's been one of the biggest problems. And then Connor gets hurt, and we get this kid from this small school that has 142, drops 142 on the Patriots in a big spot, rushing the ball. So, you know, they got it done, but they still got the Saints, and they still got, you know, Cincinnati to finish the season. See, and you know, Reggie, you know, the Ravens have been, look, I know John Harbaugh has been struggling. They go to Lamar Jackson, which I thought was the right way. I've never been a Flacco guy anyway, Reggie. But this Ravens team does not quit. They don't. Even with him, they're still in it. They came back. The Steelers had their hiccups, and they're still there. They have a shot to win this division and knock the Steelers out of the playoffs.
They can thank Ozzie Newsom for that because Ozzie Newsom had built that team. Unlike the Brady Gold down 95, who have just fallen hard times. I'm going to say this. It assures you that in the Brady Gold, some of the Washington football team, it's interesting that they brought Sanchez in there, and of course, Chris Cooley, Mark Sanchez quarterback, an old boy. And what did they do? They finally give a German, Josh, in there, 14 different teams, and he leads them to a victory over Jacksonville, which is pretty checked out, in my opinion. But you got to give Washington some credit. He knows how to draft and how to build a team. And I'm getting Harbaugh on the hot seat. He's on the way out.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to diminish what Ozzie. I mean, how many guys could be Hall of Famers as a player, Hall of Famers as a front office guy? How many guys do we know in the NFL that can be that? And he is that. He can go to the Hall of Fame on either one, you know? Orlando Hughes, you know, we talked about, you know, Reggie's talking about the black quarterback. We'll get to that in a second. But from a standpoint of your Eagles, man, that's a big win. Dallas, as you said, I think it was you that said that I wouldn't be surprised if they went to the Colts and got beat, and they got beat. So here you are with Washington and Philly there. Philly still playing for their playoffs lives. Big win on the road. They had everything going for them in this game. It might be something that can catapult them in the next two games, and they make the playoffs.
Yeah, look, the Eagles own the Rams. It was no way that LA Coliseum was a home game for them with all the West Coast fans that are out there. And what I was shocked was the intensity they came out with, because Dallas showed that they played a hard and had to get on the road. The Eagles played in Dallas, had to fly back home, and then fly across the country. And for them to be up defensively in the first quarter, that was it. Although Jim Schwartz almost cost us the game with his conservative defense play call that cost us the game in not just in Tennessee and Carolina. He almost did the same damn thing yesterday. But listen, real quick, and I was at a party. The Los Angeles Rams offense is not as complicated as people think. Jared Goff, if he snaps the ball before the play clock goes under 15 seconds, it's a pass. If he snaps it underneath the 2 seconds, it's going to be a run. The only play that he has a check off, which is a drop off to his running back. The Eagles played sound defense, and they did not take the bite. You don't bite against that offense with that class you pass and go to the hurt, and that's a simplistic defense. I mean, this defense, I mean, this offense is really simplistic. So all of Sean McVay covering, I don't get that, because I saw a little bit of Eli and Jared Goff last night, because he folded up and he got hit in that pocket. So good win for
the thing about it is, Orlando, they've got a dominant type guy that needs to get 25 touches, and they
need
to get the ball.
Yeah, and then my team, Jonathan
Sue,
I think Jonathan
Sue's
on the milk cart. I ain't
seeing him at all. But here's the thing.
I heard someone say that today. The Rams are just full of names on defense. Like, that's what cost them the game, because, I mean, Nick Foles is one right attitude to leave, which was amazing. And they were just going at him like, who are you? So,
here's the thing with the Rams. The Rams are like sort of like the Saints in the sense that they have a basic. They don't have like a bunch of stud kind of standout players on offense. With the Rams, of course, with their running back, obviously, and with the Saints with their running back. But, you know, they're pretty basic. They just beat you methodically now. The problem with the Rams is they can't stop the run. Eagles were eating them up, especially in the red zone. They were killing them. They were killing them. They couldn't stop the run. And they got all that big beef up front, too, T.
The Rams and the Saints. And I think this is the name of offensive team, but even more so with them. They don't play catch up very well. You gotta lean on them, but you keep it close.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad is, what's the country? Here's
common thread between Philly, Saints, Rams. They have a dominant running back, and they refuse to see the base. You know,
yeah.
I'm trying not to sound like the old.
Okay, I don't know if we lost crew. Okay. And hopefully we'll get Orlando Reggie. Okay, so Orlando, we might have lost Reggie and T. I guess what I'm saying is that these top teams, the two we mentioned, hopefully they'll call you back. Those top two teams that we mentioned have issues stopping the run. But if you're physical with them and you can stay toe-to-toe, at least going into the fourth quarter, you have a shot. So that with the Rams. Eagles helped. It was helpful for them that they were up, 17 going into the fourth or somewhere along those lines, 30, 13, whatever it was. So they can pin their ears back and really come after Jared Goff, who I think is a quality quarterback. But, you know, we'll see when those games are tight, especially in the playoffs, we saw it last year, if this guy can be better or is he going to have a Phillip Rivers type of career where he'll be really good in the regular season and struggle in the playoffs.
But I don't know because, listen, this man has yet to win. Like, Sean McVay has yet to win a playoff game. And the L.A. teams have a problem. They don't have any fan base. I mean, even the Chargers, they don't have a fan base. I mean, that was a game for which, you know, hold on, I want to bring it up here. Hold on 1 second.
And you know, I mean, that is a situation.
Well, but that's a game for which the LA teams, they get dominated by these coaches. The Steelers go to L.A., it's going to be Steelers fans. If the Chiefs go to L.A., it's going to be Chiefs fans. You know, the Packers go to L.A. or the Cowboys, it's going to be those fans are going to be the majority of the crowd.
Yeah, you heard it in the crowd, too. Yeah, you heard it in the crowd. You heard it in the crowd last night where Eagles would make a big play and you hear a roar. I mean, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it pride is out there. Reggie makes a good point. I've seen more Eagle jerseys since they won the Super Bowl than I've ever seen in a while. But I mean, they do travel. There's a big fan base when it comes to the Eagles. Let me switch gears to the quarterback situation, Reggie, that you brought up in Washington. They're gonna bring in the butt tackle, Mark Sanchez. No, but I'm saying they bring in Sanchez before they, and then of course he can't get it done. No disrespect to Mark Sanchez. I like Mark Sanchez as a person, but certainly not a great quarterback. We see, again, you guys heard me speak with Barry Barnes about Cam Newton. I just don't see, when you look at some of the positions at quarterback, at black quarterbacks in this league, that they just do not put those people in place to make them successful. Look at what in Seattle, what he's doing. He has, certainly he's got a reliable wide receiver, and they can run the ball. I understand. Defense is playing a little surprisingly better than we expected, but Russell really hasn't had a super bona fide wide receiver. Now, I understand they don't grow on trees all the time. You know, you're not going to get a Calvin Johnson or Antonio Brown with a, you know, Julio Jones everywhere. But can you add something to it? I mean, not to mention that they don't give the Cams and the Russells the offensive line help that they need to be successful in this league.
It's interesting. Cam got the Super Bowl with Tipton Jr. and Funches.
he's basically had one dominant Hall of Fame receiver his whole career, and that's, you know, Steve Smith. When you know that Kelvin Benjamin, who tried to throw him under the bus during the offseason, is now on his 18th or his 3rd season. So he's, you know, other than Olsen, and again, you know, you can't be, when your deep threat is your tight end, you know, unless you've got a Tony Gonzalez or Antonio Gates, right? And even then, you can't, you know, when your deep threat is your tight end, that's not saying nothing. To be quite honest with you, I don't think Matt Sherman is giving the ball to McCaffrey enough, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Well, McCaffrey does run the pole today, and then he runs that wheel route. The
cast out the backfield. Yeah, I just don't think that they put these guys in a position to make plays and you know, I wanna give, you know, Norv some credit for, you know, the success of Cam, but you know, Cam is, you know, sometimes, you know, you learn to be a more accurate passer, and he has. Nobody talks about when Ben throws 18 trillion interceptions. Nobody talks about Aaron Rodgers or that horrible pass that Tom Brady, for president, threw in this game yesterday. But when Cam does it, it's a big to-do about it, though.
Well, you know, that's the fact. But Cam Miller's got to be an MVP before, you know, Kevin came to town. I mean, let's be real.
And Andrew Luck got offensive line up with his standing straight up. He had to beat Nita. And by the way, the coach had a certain offense coordinator that was with the Super Bowl champ. And the defense coordinator, oh, he was a linebacker coach for the Dallas Cowboys. He was like playing the Eagles back to back. No wonder boys got their butts kicked. And they should have.
Yeah. Real quick, switching to college, obviously, you got. You know, Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl, those that happen after Christmas, then you have the other bowls before and after. Orlando, have you, do you see anything in what Oklahoma can do to upset Alabama? We know, we already talked about these four teams and how, you know, the five families are going to get rich. And Notre Dame being one of them, of course, they play Clemson earlier that part of day. But do you see anything with Oklahoma as it relates to trying to upset Alabama, and who do you have, Notre Dame and Clemson?
LA, I would say this for Oklahoma and Notre Dame. Please make the courtesy flush in between and crack the window and wash your hands.
Oh, that is funny. Wow, I didn't know he was going to do that.
Same question to you guys, Tony and Reggie. Big ups. The tough loss for Alcorn's. Yeah, tough loss for Alcorn State too. And as I mentioned, big ups to Alcorn State, who had a good year but lost, of course, in the playoffs. And certainly we follow these HBCU teams. And we'll talk more about it tomorrow and on Thursday, guys. More stuff to get into. As a matter of fact, CC Sabathia getting people all upset. He got his bonus. And even though he got ejected in his last game, he's got his $500,000 bonus for pitching in that game. He met his requirement. Getting kicked out is a technicality. So, but good for him. We'll talk. It's about time. We're going to leave it at that. Come back on Tuesday night, of course, 6 p.m. Eastern is the Donaldson Files followed by the Bastard Pass, 7 p.m. Eastern, blogtalkradio.com/LA Bachelor, or you can dial in at 646-929-0130 tomorrow. And on Thursday, my apologies to Christopher Brooke of the ACLU and and Jim Williams, of course, contributor of the Huffington Post and the host of Politically Incorrect podcast. It airs. We'll get them on very, very, very soon. Thanks to all of you for listening, and of course, and thanks to Coco Cosme, a co-host of the Dallas Files, airs on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Airs tomorrow. Check them out. If you miss any part of our broadcast, go to our website. Even if you're listening here on WCOM at the Bachelor Pad with a T, thebachelorpadnetwork.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter on the pad.
Thank you.